I know he wanted me to talk a little bit about some stuff, so you could find your way to Colossians. And I think it's somewhere in Genesis or something. I can... Well, Janet. Hallelujah. Second chapter would be good. Now, I know that about 5 years ago, I've managed to upset the devil really, really bad, and I like that. One time he spoke out loud. I literally heard him. And it was at the end of a fast before that time, and he said, "I'm going to kill you." I thought, oh, if you could do that, you'd have already done it. So just get out. He's cussed me out in a few languages, Russian, Indian dialect. In fact, one was the setting with the preachers. And they were behind me on the platform. I came out to preach, and all of a sudden his booming voice says, "I am going to kill you," in perfect English. I asked him, "Does he speak English?" They said, "No." "I'm going to kill you." So I turned around and just put my eyes on his and said, "You come out of him, you devil." He said, "I will not come out." And I said, "It was not a request." He fell down on the stage and went into convulsions, you know, stuff like that. Got delivered. And the other time he just went back against the platform. This was in Russia when Russia opened up, and I went over with Rick Renner. And so we went to actually Lafayette, and we baptized 1,000 a night for a couple of nights in the old Olympic swimming pool that was turning green. The people that was getting saved, they just didn't have any money. So the pool was turning green, and so many got baptized that they'd come in on their bicycles and things. They hadn't recovered. And so Rick Renner said, "Who will volunteer? Who will help me baptize?" I'll go. Okay. So they come in early to be baptized, then the service, then go back because they couldn't make two trips. So they just came basically in the clothes they was in. Their culture's different than ours. Is it different? Anyway, all of a sudden they started coming. We were in the pool and they was coming at us in crowds. So most of them just stripped down to their underclothes. And a lot of the women stripped down a little bit further than that. Should have seen us baptizing in the name. In the name. Through a lot of stuff. And next night, when Rick went to ask for volunteers, every hand went up. Hell, that's preaching on the platform, the same thing. "I'm going to kill you." Does this guy speak English? No. And so, same thing. I said, "No, you're not. Get it, come out of it." "I will not." Again, I informed him, my unwelcome guest, that it wasn't a request. It was an order. Come out. So I turned my back on him. He just breathed on my neck. I started teaching again. "Furthermore, God said, furthermore." Finally, the breathing stopped, and I glanced. And he had backed up against the platform. And all of a sudden, the crowd goes, "Oh," that means turn around. He come at me at a dead run. It looked like a big hand came down, just slapped him down on the ground. He slid up to me like I was first base. Then he got up and lifted his hands. It was filled with the Holy Ghost. And he went back. So the devil and me wasn't having a good time together. He's really, really mad. And so all the takeouts he had tried by anything he could do. I mean, trouble galore. You wouldn't believe what was happening. And then all of that gold dusting stuff and all of that started. So I guess what he figured, if I couldn't get him through pressure and break him down that way, he'd try that other approach. And so about that time, now this was before a person I believe by the name of Toad Bentley, and there's an angel involved called Miss Emma Tate. Well, maybe you know him better by Todd Bentley. An angel visited him and gold dusted the crowd and all that, and it started becoming an issue. But even before that, I was on one of my seeking times, just fasting and having a good time and praying. And somewhere 6 or 7 days in, I was up in a room in our house, just upstairs, just 6 or 7 days. All of a sudden, I could hear in the distance, "Can't you hear the thunder roll?" And gospel song, and I thought, who left something on? I could understand it, but it was in a distance. And so I went through the house and looked, and nobody had nothing on. And I looked in the closet, and I laid on the vent and put my ear on it. I looked all over for whoever was doing this. So I couldn't find where it was coming from. So then I thought, maybe a workman left it in the wall after the fire. I don't know. House burned down once. So it just gets, it started increasing, get a little louder, and I thought for sure everybody was going to hear this if it got much louder. It got louder and kept going from one song to another. And it was good singing, too. I just didn't know who was doing it. So I finally went down. My wife was on the computer, and I went down, and I sat down by her, and I said, "Can you hear that song?" I said, "What song?" I said, "It's been sung. I can hear it singing." "No. What are they saying?" They happened to be right on that. "Can't you hear the thunder roll?" "Oh, just I feel God down in my soul." Just singing in harmony and everything. She says, "I don't hear nothing." I said, "It must be angels singing then. It's got to be angels." She says, "I don't hear nothing, and if I was you, I wouldn't tell anybody." Well, I mean, hour after hour, I got serenaded by a host of angels just singing in harmony. I mean, they were good. I could hear every word. They were good. And it went all the way through to the end of the fast. And I go, "Now tell the church." "Yeah, I've got to tell." I had angels serenade me for my whole fast. Remember that, Gary? "Yes, I did." Could be special. Oh, this is something. And between that and the next time that we usually annually as a church dedicate a time for fasting and prayer, you know, between that time he started gold dusting people in the crowd and he pried it into ones having prayer meetings, and I'd already knew what that was about and had taken a stand against it. So that didn't soften me up when the gold dusting started. We handled it with wisdom and it disappeared without causing an uprising. But it come time then for fasting to come around again. And this time our house was full. And so Mom and Bev moved back to Canada. And so we paid rent on the house she had rented for another month or 2 months. So I could go over there. And it was in Sepulpa. And lock myself up there. And I believe it was the third or fourth night. I just then, hallelujah, glory. "Can't you hear the thunder roll?" And it started in again, only this time it was twice as loud. I went back. That went from one song to another and got louder and louder and louder until it was driving everything out of my head. And pretty soon I started to get disoriented. Rosalie needed me to come home really bad, and I couldn't even find my way home, much less back. Somebody says, you're like that anyway. I couldn't find my way. I was disoriented. I couldn't think. When I got home, they were singing real loud at home. In fact, they were singing so loud one night late that I thought it was the boys playing their stuff in the garage, and I went out to tell them, just because you're playing gospel music this time doesn't mean you can run the neighbors off. I got out there, and there was nobody out there. I'm going, oh. Well, I got to go back to the house finally. I made it back there, and these got louder and louder. They got where I couldn't hardly stand it. And I'm thinking something's wrong. That's when he spoke up and says, you've got a right to try the spirits. I'm thinking, how am I going to do this? How am I going to do it? Later, Jim told me. He said, you most don't survive that. You survived. So I'm thinking, how am I going to try these things? Crying out loud. I'm thinking, I know what I'll do. I'll request them a song. Did you notice that they couldn't read my thoughts? They could throw stuff at me, but they did not know what I was thinking. So I couldn't just think it. I had to say it. I said, would you sing Let's All Gather at the River? I thought they'd have to be old angels to know that one. It got silent for a minute. Its song kind of ended and got silent for a minute, like they went into a little counseling to find one that knew it. And all of a sudden, let's all gather at the river. And the high ones had come. I mean, they had a whole... I know where rock bands can get their music, because you can hear the words. They can write it down, write the music, you're in business. And so they sang that song, I thought, now what? I've got a choir that follows me around, takes requests. Now what? Then I thought, I know what. I'm going to ask them to sing Ring of Fire by Johnny Cash. I said, sing Ring of Fire. Oh, what'd you think about getting quiet after that song wound down? It got quiet for a long time. I'm going, well, that did it, I guess. No, I think what they had to do is go find some angel that knew it. I'm not talking about good ones now. So evidently they did, because all of a sudden, the taste of love is sweet when two hearts like ours meet. I fell into a burning ring of fire. Just, man, they were good. I'd like to heard the end of the song before I did what I did. I said, all right. I said, that's it. Get out. They didn't even finish the song. They got out. I survived. Well, then they changed their tactics. I probably won't tell you part of it, but not at this point. They changed their tactics and went to cheap parlor tricks. They even pulled them when Gary was in the room. They pulled their cheap parlor tricks. You know my devoted writing pad? The one that houses my pencil. I Velcroed the pencil on the side and put some in my binder, and I stick it in there and close the binder on it. It's like National Treasury. I keep it by my bed because all of a sudden you don't know when something's going to come. And I'll grab it off the shelf and... And I was sitting up there, and I was just laying there. And it was over on this side, and all of a sudden the pencil shot out of the side of it. My pencil. It went 2 feet away and landed in the trash. I said, I'm not going to quit writing. And so they got a figure dashed across the door. I said, that won't work either. You told it to get out. I get out. So I was in my office and Gary came into fellowship. Where was your keys in your coat pocket? Where was I at the desk? Did I move? Did you move? We're both sitting there and gets ready to go. And he goes, where's my keys at? He looks around on the desk. Like maybe he laid them there. And I don't know. He may have went out and looked at the car or something even. And so he was sitting there. And he goes, I had the keys. How would I got down here with the car? I heard a story earlier like that. Yeah. So I had brought a bag back from Brazil with a baby blanket in it, and it was sitting over by the wall about 4 feet from me. And all of a sudden I get this strong impulse to go over there, and I looked in the bag and there's the blanket, and I lifted the blanket up and his keys was under the blanket. And I said, you guys just gonna have to stop this. Your cheap parlor tricks are not gonna work either, so just stop it in Jesus' name. And it did. It all vanished. But that was their ploy. I mean, most of them fell for it. Why wouldn't they? If we'd be on a whole nother road now. But instead, it led to the exposing of all of that. So I wrote a big, major letter. And on it, Miss Emma, let me tell you the steps those things take. You know, we're called to soundness of mind and doctrine and all these kind of things. It's not even our choice to address it or not. It's not our choice. So in the first things, he had to give that thing, Emma, authority in his ministry. It wasn't that he didn't love God and was being used. When that angel appeared in his service, Todd Bentley, and she was floated along the floor, white gown, Miss Emma, Date, I give her a last name. She got gold dust and dusted the crowd, and oh, this was glorious. And she appeared to him after another minister of renown had asked him if she had come and visited him yet. And it was the very next service. Well, he gave her authority. He accepted her as God. So that gave her authority to step another step further into his ministry. So she started operating, or he, or that thing. Started operating on another level. Let me tell you where it was going, see. And finally, after gaining authority and a great following, the next step, had he not fallen when he did, would have been to make him a special messenger. A special messenger that has the message. And if it was strong enough, a large following would have followed him to Guyana or Waco, Texas, or anywhere else. And that was supposed to be the progression of it and what would happen. So everybody argued, well, where did some of those miracles come from? Where did, the further on it got, the more the miracles wasn't God-based miracles. Now, well, how can the devil do miracles and things? Anything created doesn't have the power to create. Where would it get anything to create with when it itself was created? Only God can do something from nothing. But you remember the showdown with the Pharaoh that Moses had when he first went and stood before him. He says, let my people go, God said. He says, I don't know your God and I'm not going to let them go. He's pretty blunt. So in the next showdown, God told Moses what to do. Because he said, bring your staff and throw it down. And the sorcerers did the same thing. Of course, Moses' staff ate theirs. And you know there's a typology in that. Gary mentioned it the other night. But his ate theirs. But here's the issue I wanted to deal with. You had to make the decision. When the sorcerers threw their staffs down, what did God do? Play both sides of the fence and make a snake out of the staff, or did the sorcerers do it? sorcerers did it, then that means it had to be based on Satan's power. That means he turned a stick into a snake. What do you think was going on in those services? Gold dusting, things appearing, even some things happening to people. You think witch doctors don't heal? They really do. I mean, they do change things in your body. Some of them open you up like that. You can look inside and take something out. Well, I can tell you how they do that. We know that Lucifer was perfect in his ways before iniquity was found in him. And he was a cherub that covered in the Eden of God. Now, we know that Satan had already fallen by the time God put Adam into our garden. So that means that he had to fall sometime in the past. It was probably before the creation of our planet, our creation. He probably fell sometime before that. He was probably there when he watched these creations take place. And now, I can create something. I can go get a tree and saw it down and get the lumber. I mean, I worked in lumber. Oregon. I can take a tree and turn it into a picnic table. Then I can step back and look at it and go, I created that. Yeah, but I created it out of something that already existed on the level I operate on. But he was there when the first atomic structures and atoms and things poured out in creation and became everything that they have become in basic matter. And he probably watched this creation, that be the case. On the level he could operate, he could probably manipulate matter, but he could not create any. So he had that much power. And so he used that in deception, and now they're on another rise. But this time, the visitations are from the saints that went on before us. It sounds like another Catholic rising. Let me tell you about Mary. She's never appeared to anybody.
Well, then who was it?
Guess. This is a little hint, but it would have been Mary. She'd have never let you worship her.
Amen.
Was not Mary. Now William Branham's appearing to people. These are not appearing to them. They're familiar spirits making their debuts. They want another move. Well, guess what? We're going to have a revival of signs and wonders and sanity based on the foundation of the Word that empties hospitals with no hocus pocus. Preaching my britches down. I'm making so much emphasis. My muscles tighten to make a point and they drop an inch. Hallelujah.
Well, Jesus talked with a couple of guys that was dead, Moses and Elijah.
I know it. They didn't come from heaven.
Amen.
They were already here. They've just been kept in a part of paradise in the lower parts of the earth. They were already here.
Well, what was he talking about?
Well, he's talking to your relatives now, Jesus is. He talked to them about his ascension. They represented the law and the prophets. But he's just telling them he's getting ready to resurrect them. So he had a little talk and then they all went home together not too long after that. And if you're using that, people can come and talk to you. No, they don't. It's not them. People don't go back and forth between here and heaven. You might go there. If you don't get back pretty quick, you're never going to come back. You'll come back when he comes back after the marriage supper of the Lamb. But you won't come back before that. So there's no dead people running around talking to people. About the time they get your confidence, they will take you where you do not want to go. Now, my son, Daniel and Steve both, after my other son, Bill, went home. And Bill was traveling with me, and we went down to Frank's, and he's gone on to another meeting, and he died from congestive heart failure during the night. Did God take him? No, but he did receive him. So he was on his way to preach. Well, he went home, and then Steve, you know, they were all in chaos, you know, their brother. Steve overdosed. And guess who came to rescue him? Bill. Right, and he's in that state and died. Steve stepped out of his body, and Bill was right there. And thank God that Alan was with Rosalie and Steve when he died, because Alan jumped on him and prayed, and he's dead about 9 minutes, but all of a sudden he started breathing again. Well, Bill was just clearing the devils that had surrounded Steve when he stepped out of his body, and Bill was clearing them out, like, follow me. Yeah, he was going to break any link he had with life. He said, wasn't Bill. But we got him back because he's not saved. Then Daniel was the most pathetic when he overdosed. Bill came in the room. He said, if you don't do exactly what I tell you, they're going to throw me out of heaven. That's how they control. They're going to throw me out of heaven if you don't do what I say. And then when Daniel resisted, then he said, your nieces, my little grandkids, 4 and 2. He said, if you don't do what I tell you, you're going to have to watch them die. Then he proceeded to tell Daniel how to terminate his life. Well, Daniel came out of it enough to get me on the phone, and I took care of that real quick. Stay sane. Stay on your foundation. They are not your teacher. They are not your teacher. Look to the head, not sensationalism. Look to your foundation. Praying in tongues is a foundation revelation gift that'll put your feet on solid ground, and the house you build will be sure. He says here, 18th verse, Colossians 2. Let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility and worshiping of angels. What is it? Let no man beguile you or take your reward away from you. How? In a voluntary or humbling yourself to the worshiping of angels, intruding into those things which he has not seen, vainly puffed up in his fleshly mind, and not beholding or holding the head from which all the body and joints and hands and everything is connected together, he says. And now look at this close. He said, don't let anyone beguile you in a false humility of the worshiping of angels. Now, most of you, if an angel walked in here, a big one, and said, would you get down and worship me? Would you do it? So I'm thinking, well, what's he talking about here exactly? Who could he beguile to do that? Well, he said it was a false humility that they bowed down to the worshiping of angels, but it wasn't particular angels they were bowed down and worshiping. What it was is they were worshiping in the church the system of worship that the angels had presented to them. It's like Todd Bentley did with all the sensationalism and that kind of signs and wonders. So he says, don't let the devil rob you of your reward in a false humility of the worshiping of angels, and looking to them instead of to the head, Jesus Christ. He is your teacher through the power of the Holy Spirit, not any system of angels. Amen. Stay on guard. It's going to get really, really bad. And this time, what he's going to have to counteract it with will be true revival. And that is what we're on schedule for. So please hold us up as we disarm this thing and bring a real revival in. You know what I've seen? I've seen hospitals emptied so much it couldn't even be denied. I mean, I saw things happening in the spirit that's coming. It caused headline news to come out and see what the phenomena is about. And guess what? There's no way they're going to be able to prove different than who it is. It went through the children's ward. Empty it out. It's raising the dead. There'll be no way to explain it. A revival of signs and wonders and sanity of mind and doctrine that will not be moved. Hallelujah. I didn't particularly want to do this tonight. But you've got to know. And especially right now where there's another move rising to the surface and gaining momentum about the saints coming and visiting people and giving them words and leadership. Don't fall for it. Where do you think the Catholic Church come from? When all the sensationalism, praying to saints, and all that kind of thing is, they still went after their money, wanting payment for penance. That money reigns, doesn't it? Hey, if you're going to go that route now, why wait? Why wait around for it to develop? Why don't you just run over and join the Catholic Church? It'll cycle back around. Some of the Catholics I knew were some of the most sincere people in the world. One of the devil's most powerful tools is deception. You can love with all your heart and he puts you on the wrong path. Mother Teresa, because I was in India, left a mark. They tried to put her in a monastery and she said no. They need us out there. First he'd stand off from the villages and they'd throw rocks at her. But eventually she won the heart of the nation. They wouldn't let you publish her memoirs, her diary. The Catholic Church did not want it released. And when they got a hold of part of it, it leaked to the news. At times she doubted the very existence of God. So I asked God. I said, somebody that devoted, never married. You know what some did for penance in those groups? In the first 500 years, there was a sect that even broke away and wouldn't take the instructions of the Pope. And those were the ones that whipped themselves for penance. Whipped their own backs with whips. Walked on glass. Just for a kind of penance to purify themselves. One nun would drink water that they had washed a leper down. And then she drank the water to suffer. Purifying. Wrong. Say wrong. I said, somebody so dedicated like Mother Teresa, wouldn't just her dedication make you want to reach her, Jesus? Didn't people pray for her? And I never will forget the day he answered. He said, yes. Because of prayer, he sent T.L. Osborne. Did you know she was in his services? And still held on to her doctrine. See, he tried. How many is going to pray a little more in the Spirit than you used to? Good. Good. I know it. This is a very edifying message, but it's after you recover. Whew. Hallelujah. All right. I want to stop. I think I said enough.
Well, you and I both know that some of the things Pastor Dave taught on tonight, there'll be some people out there that just really, how can I say it, get their dander up over it. But as I was sitting there, right before he started ministering to people, all of a sudden, the Lord brought back to my memory the word that came forth at the beginning of the service, where he said, I only work within the structure and the parameters of my word. Remember that? Remember that? And that's what Pastor Dave was addressing, these things that are happening. You can't find them in Scripture. And it just hit me how the Lord gave us that word to prepare us for what he was going to share through Pastor Dave tonight.